flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
My anxiety, by the way, had nothing to do with the Cavs just blatantly not showing up in OKC last night.
Like, yeah, I mean, what anxiety would even be attached to that? The game came and went. It was grand opening, grand closing. I mean, that was...
Was it 60 seconds in when it was closed?
I mean, and we all hung on, and then by the end of the first quarter, we knew where the game was going.
Yeah, I that's kind of where I was, like, all right, I'm going to definitely pay attention to the game, but it was the right mix. Because I think we've put all the onus on the Cavs in this one. OKC could not miss. They were playing insanely hard, so I'm not trying to take it away from them. They were just hot, and that heat never broke.
Well, there was a couple things. SGA spoke about at the end of the game, basically how they got Atkinson to fall into the trap that they wanted, where then in the first quarter you saw how Allen and Mobley had extended stretches of just not being on the court, and not being on the court together as well, which played exactly into what the Thunder wanted them to do, because then they could play extremely fast, they could pick up the pace, and basically what happened is they got the Cavs to try to play the Thunder brand of basketball that the Thunder wanted them to play, and I thought it was a stroke of genius by them, and Atkinson fell for it.
Well, and it's kind of the opposite of what happened in the first matchup, where the Cavs got OKC to play your kind of ball. So, and I saw all the reaction to it. I didn't expect it to look like that, where halfway through the first quarter, we're like, oh, I think this is just how the game's going to go. I did not expect, but there was a part of me that went into last night thinking, well, it's really hard to beat a team that is that good twice inside 8 days. You're now on their home court. So the shocking part was just the fact that they just got their doors blown off and at no point seemed capable of finding their way either offensively or defensively to get right.
Well, we hadn't seen them just get their doors blown off. Like, that hadn't been a thing that we'd seen from them. And so I wondered yesterday, like, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face, right? Well, what was the Cavs' plan? At the end of the first quarter, we knew the game was blouses.
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting. I really do, because you compare this with a Pacers game.
Especially on the big stage. That's the big reason why it matters so much. I don't love the idea that people want to just sweep it under the rug and say, it's just one basketball game. No. When your DNA is built on the idea that you are a bunch of tryhards, gym class heroes, you're going to go ahead and you're going to play your butt off every single game. When that's your DNA, you don't have games like that. You don't get blown out like that.
But I am. I'm not going to panic over, or I'm not going to be alarmed about last night's game, but I am in a state between this and the Pacers game. It's not about the losses.
It's been a bad week, though.
It's really not about the losses. It's more about it's more lethargy than I think we're used to. Like you can see them try to hit the booster, and it's not there right now. That's worth pointing out because you've got a stretch of basketball in front of you that, if that persists, can eat into your lead at one, can certainly impact kind of your trajectory of the second half of the season going into the break.
Well, now, I mean, can you look at it? I mean, I thought Charles did a good job in between at halftime, just talking about the idea that like this, there's only a few games you got to get up for every single season. And in the Cavs instance, how many have we had so far this year? I could argue three: the first Boston game, then the first Thunder game, and then now the second Thunder game. We're 1-2 in those games.
Well, I'll say this: I mentioned the lethargic thing.
Yeah,
the Cavs vibe, it's a little down right now. Between the Pacers, the first Pacers game and the second one, we didn't see kind of the energy and the spark until the Cavalanche at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That even kind of evaporated a little bit until like the final 3 or 4 minutes of that game where they kind of pulled away for good. So none of this is worth being alarmed about or panicking about, but we've asked ourselves, and we actually talked about yesterday, can they be prone to a fit of less than excellent basketball? And last night, and certainly the last three games, or 2.5 of the last three games, I think, answers that, yeah, that's kind of where they are. And now it's how quickly can you pull the nose up? And at what point does it really start to matter?
Yeah, and it's not like it gets easier. You got Minnesota coming up now in the next game. Like, you're starting to play a lot of teams. There's no longer, you don't get that reprieve where it felt like over the previous first 3 months of the season, it was like, all right, had a bad second half. Here's Washington to come, have you have a get right game. You're not going to have that coming up. There's a lot of good teams we'll play.
I do think it's funny that people just, that there is a idea out there that I've heard, and I heard some of the panic with the Morning Boys. I heard some of the panic on Baskin and Phelps. I saw the panic on social media. But they're like, somehow last night cancels out the first win. And I was like, no, you're capable of both of them. Like, yeah, they're both a tale of where you are right now, and it's on you. It's on the Cavs to figure out, all right, well, how quickly do you want to get to be the team that was the first Thunder game versus the second Thunder game? And that's a choice. Like, everything, this is good. Like, I hate to lose. Everyone hates to lose. But the reason why it's not to be alarmed about is, one, they still have time to make up very quickly and turn around and start winning at an 890 clip again, or, I don't know, just a 750 clip again. But the other part of it is, okay, now you got punched in the mouth. Where do you go from here? How long does it take you to get back on your feet? I think if you really want the Cavs to compete for a championship, I think you have to learn that. I think Kobe needs, from Kenny Atkinson, he needs to know, all right, what buttons do I push when things aren't going well?
Well, and it's funny how open Kenny is to the idea of where he failed in that game, and how it's different. What I like about Kenny is that in that post game, and then even in just a conversation we've had in other post games, he's so open about being like, yeah, I messed up here. This was my bad. This is my fault. He doesn't try to bury it. He doesn't try to run from it. He doesn't try to say anything even stupid where it's like, oh, well, just a bad night shooting. He gives you concrete reasons. And I thought it was impressive in many ways, because not many coaches would have done that after last night's game.
So I know people aren't going to want to hear this because they lost, but obviously, I was a huge, huge proponent of James Borrego getting the job.
Yeah.
And so everything that I liked about James Borrego is everything that I've seen out of Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's now apparent that in my mind they could not have gone wrong with their two finalists, because there's just no games. It's just real. This is what it is. They're adults. We're going to figure this out. I got exposed. Like, well, there's such a defensiveness from some coaches just to own it.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest sign of power. It really is.
And you know, I mean, again, SGA basically called him out without calling him out and say what an advantage they had and how they got him to play right into his hand. But you know, in a chess match, Kenny Atkinson won the first battle. They won the second battle. I got a lot of confidence he would win battle number three. Like, he wouldn't just lay down and be like, well, I guess we're out of options now.
Well, I think so much of what we've seen in failure, not just in Cleveland sports, but in sports in general, is coaches being, no. I that wasn't on me. That was, they got to execute better. We got to do this better. Instead of just being like, I think I took one on the chin.
Yeah.
Because that does allow you, when you can, because that's how you move past it.
He almost sounds like he was excited about the idea of like, I I want another shot to go ahead and try to figure out where we got this wrong, and then let's go adjust. And I want another attack at this.
I think he should be excited.
Yeah,
I
no, but it's like a basketball junkie way of looking at it, which is so cool to me. It's just I like when people like what they do and have passion for their job. And you could tell it did surprise him. It surprised him a lot what happened last night. But then the response to that, I think, matters a lot.
One more reason why I'm not terribly alarmed in any way. I'm not alarmed in any way. I should just say that. I shouldn't even add a qualifier. It's because this is when this is supposed to happen. Like the nonsense where the Celtics struggles. Guys, it's January. Like this is the doldrums, right? However it feels for you and I to walk outside when it's -3 degrees and we're dragging ass, well, that coincides with the ass-dragging part of the NBA schedule. So it just totally makes sense that whether it's who you played or the time of year, that this is where, whether it's a 2-game stretch or whether it turns into a 5-game stretch, 10-game stretch, that this happens.
That's where I put a little bit more emphasis into last night, though, not because you shouldn't be dragging for last night. You know, that's TNT, that's primetime. Cavs only had a handful of primetime games all year long. Like, these are the ones you need to get excited for and need to get up for, and the fact that they didn't live up to that is something that I will think about.
I would rebuttal you with, I don't know why I said it like that. I said it kind of Borat-y. I would rebuttal you by asking, what other national game that they've had this year have they played like that?
No, they haven't played like that in any game. Not only national game, any regular season game, we haven't seen them play it like that.
So that's kind of where I will just give them the Peterlin pass for that.
Oh, we got a Peterlin pass?
I had to do it.
An early Peterlin pass. Usually we don't start handing these out for another month or so.
Listen, I like to be early. 216-474-0092. Are you alarmed about a Cavs step back after the way they played pretty much the last week? Here we got quick hits at 240. We've got Ryan Roberts, NFL draft and college football analyst from A to Z Sports. He's joining us at 3. We've got Joey Kaufman, Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch at 4. And then Danny Cannell joining us at 6:20, former college quarterback, college football analyst. A lot to get into on the national championship game, Ohio State, Notre Dame, the Cavs struggles, state of the Browns, some words coming from the Browns locker room. Didn't expect those. But are you alarmed about a Cavs step back after just the way they've played, really since Sunday, but just in the last week alone? And the secret's been out on the Cavs for a while, that at 2:22 on 92.3 The Fan. Anytime somebody asks a question about this, I just feel like anyone that's covered the team, anyone that's talked about the Cavs, like last night, from the standpoint of what they were doing to take the Cavs out of their game, how it relates to Darius and Donovan shouldn't have been a surprise, because that secret's been out on the Cavs since the second they were constructed.
Yeah, as it relates to those two, for sure. Because the big surprise was what ended up happening with Allen and Mobley, but with Garland and Donovan, do you feel like something's wrong with Donovan? Do you think you think he's injured? Like, he's not looked his normal self.
I don't know, because it's so weird, because he was so damn good in the beginning of the Indiana game, the second Indiana game, where he kind of floated you for a half and kept you in the game, and then they took over. But if you look at his January stats, I mean, it's not. This has been his worst stretch of basketball this season by a wide margin.
Yeah, and is he trying to maybe push the idea that he has to be the facilitator or help out and be, because we've given him so much credit for not having an ego and for being able to take that back seat. Is he almost taking that too far, or is something actually wrong with him?
I don't know if it's either. Here's the thing. I'm just going to say I don't know. It's apparent that he's had a stretch of basketball here as bad as you can point out in his Cavs time.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where when you're winning, you kind of just leave it alone, because it's like, well, sometimes you're just working through stuff. I mean, there's a huge adjustment with how the offense, you know, flows around Donovan and Darius. It might just be a natural ebb and flow. I know that's like the least sexy, least like stick to it answer possible. But I mean, I think it's enough. I think you've got enough of a sample size with Donovan specifically, where like if you want to say the Cavs and the way they played for a week, not concerned. Are my ears perked up on Donovan and where he is? Absolutely, absolutely. And the here's the saving grace of it, though, because I already, the second that I said that, I know that these guys aren't just going to continue to push him. If he needs more rest, they're going to give it to him.
Right, and now would be the time that you start to do that. If it is something that is actually something that needs a fix, I don't know that it is or isn't. We have no idea if that's the case.
So where do you stand with where Donovan's
playing? Think he's having a bad couple weeks. Yeah. I mean, it's really all it is. I think it's okay. I mean, we talk about Jose Ramirez all the time and those 30-day slumps that sometimes he has. It's not the first time we've seen Donovan just have a bad couple weeks. It stinks that the two biggest games of the season outside of the Boston games, he's basically been a no-show and on a milk carton, but he's not the one I'm worried about in big games.
Yeah, but I think this is another great reminder to the Cavs, right? Everybody knows what you don't have. And in the NBA playoff, if it's apparent in games in January that, hey, let's throw some longer wings out there. It doesn't always work, by the way, but let's just see. That's the kind of matchup advantage. That and, like, okay, are you tough enough? Those are the two kind of things that with the Cavs you're going to try and exploit. So much of the conversation is, well, how could you ever look at upgrading this roster when you're 34-6? And how could you ever, well, this last night's a good reminder of, hey, you still have things that teams can pick apart and that you don't have, unless you're going to schematically find a way to combat it, which is really, really tough in a seven-game series because there's only so many cards you can play. There's only so many ways you can play the same cards. But you need to really remember, man, this is a lot of fun. They're playing great. I don't think the honeymoon's over, by the way, which I want to get your take on. But, this is the longer wings are going to do this. And if it's doing this in January, it's going to do it in May and April, May, and June, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why in the previous decade of NBA basketball, we don't have a bunch of undersized combo guards together. Like, I mean, it just doesn't exist, you know? It's Dame and it's CJ. And then that list just gets cut short immediately, because it's just not a recipe that a lot of the NBA's used forever.
And the Cavs have already done a better job, and I think to their credit, right? Because I've hammered Kobe periodically, so I got to give him credit too.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs have done a better job in the going 2.5 years you've had Darius and Donovan, getting the pieces and keeping the pieces around them to help them during the regular season. So so they've done a better than Portland really ever did at any point with Dame and CJ McCollum.
Fair.
So that gives me a lot of hope, but now it's about, all right, you know, how much do you think? I mean, I think if you're not going to do something, I think it then becomes, well, how much can Kenny as a coach, how much can a coach mitigate an obvious glaring weakness, or maybe two with the physicality thing, in multiple seven-game series in a row?
And it's something that Joe touched on with us, Joe Vartan, yesterday when he was on with us, where you look at the teams that you've actually struggled against, Indiana, Atlanta, Boston, and now Oklahoma City. Like they're all using a similar recipe to attack the Cavs.
So I don't think the honeymoon is over. It might be maybe like you paused for a couple hours here.
I wonder if maybe we just had an extended honeymoon was the thing.
So can you define that for me?
Yeah, so like, you know, some people go on a honeymoon for 7 days. Maybe we're on like a 13-day cruise honeymoon, and we went to one too many ports, and maybe we took this longer than we should have. Maybe by January, we probably should have had the honeymoon phase already phased out, and then yesterday was just a reminder of like, okay, you're right. We're in January. We need to go ahead and understand that they're going to lose games and they're not going to be this team that is, the NBA's best for the entirety of the season. And it's just reality.
Well, it does. It harkens back to something you and I have talked a bunch about off the air. And I've teased that maybe I'll bring it on air. But you could play 600 ball from here. You could end up being the 2 seed and being a 60-win team or a 62-win team. And people might be panicking off that.
Yeah, well, because it's how the last 3 months would have gone then.
Yeah. Well, which, again, 600 ball across a season, I want to say that's as good as they've played full season.
What you're describing, though, is the Guardians last year to a T. Three-month hot start, and then they were they finished the season out 27-27 over their final 54. And listen, they still got to where they wanted to go, which was the ALCS. Like, they still got to a pretty high spot, all things considered. But the last couple months of the season, it was 500 baseball.
I think I've described, whether it's 82 games or 162, this fits within my plan of how I want to see a season go, where you play really, really well and you're testing things, and even in losses, you're finding things out about yourself. And then so you start out on a high. All right, and then there's a natural ebb and flow in the middle, and then at the end of the season, last 25 games, you're on the upswing again. So this continues to come back to the idea of, well, if this is when you're supposed to struggle, or if you're going to struggle, this is when you're supposed to. Now it's just how long do you prolong it, and how much do you, you know, what's the back end look like?
I know. The disappointing part for myself on last night, though, is that you just don't get this many opportunities to take on elite teams on the big stage where you got Kenny and Shaq and Ernie and all these guys in the big TNT matchup, and you just don't get that many opportunities because that is a trial run for postseason basketball.
I will say
As close to regular season can get to playoff basketball, that was it last night, and that was a stinker.
I was just so annoyed at... You know, Tuesday night, with all due respect, and I do mean all due respect.
I don't know.
To that Tuesday night crew.
Not a big Lefko fan is what I hear.
It's not just him. Jalen Rose, why are we still doing this?
Jalen Rose he's been around for way too long.
And by the way, there was a third guy that was honestly just as bad as the other two. And the whole time I was like, is Shaq being held hostage?
Have we ever seen Jalen Rose and Desmond Howard in two different spots? Can we confirm that they're two different people?
Ooh, man, that's so honest. Although I actually don't mind Desmond a little bit. I mean, he's mailing it in. But Jalen, is Jalen with us? Jalen's just like, I'm going to dress the way I'm going to dress, and then I'm just going to say a few words, and then I just don't like it. But then, I rather you would have won against the Pacers with Charles in the building and the A team on Tuesday. And then those guys react to that game.
I mean, poor Shaq. He went so hard in the paint on Tuesday for the Cavs, and he really stuck his neck out.
Did he flip-flop? Did he already go back and be like, this is why there'll never be a championship?
No, he didn't. He didn't do the Bonteps flip, which was very nice, that he maintained his Cavs integrity. But there was definitely a spot where I thought he was going to.
I feel like we do need the National Index where we just have... I think where we just go out and say... today, Tim Bontemps believes X, Y, and Z, and then we just refresh it, right? Whoever we think the biggest Cavs haters are, and we just refresh it and see if we can catch somebody in the obvious flip-flop
Tim did. What was really funny was that there was a lot of articles this morning that you could tell people had prepared for yesterday's game to be awesome, and so it was supposed to be a Thunder and Cavs at the very top. Like, an article I read this morning was titled, "Should the Boston Celtics Still Be NBA Championship Betting Favorites?" And you could tell the person that wrote the article did so under the idea that the Thunder and the Cavs were going to be such an awesome game that it was going to be able just to tank everything Boston, but then the game went the way that it did. And so you could see the editing that happened to try to manufacture the article in a way that at least acknowledged the fact that the Cavs didn't show up last night.
But that probably should have been our first guess that this game, whether it was on the Cavs or on the Thunder, that the second game was going to be a dud. Because it's hard enough for two teams to play at that level and play each other and have a back and forth game where it was decided in the final 2 minutes, eight games apart. It's even harder to do it when you get them on the damn national level.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be like that, though. I was surprised. I didn't know the Cavs could have a game like that. That's what I learned last night. Well, I didn't know they could have a game where they just got blown out of the building and just disappeared the way that they did. I didn't know that was possible.
Every team in the NBA does.
The difference is that the Celtics are sleepwalking through the season. The Bucks don't care about the regular season. I think I heard Danny say he thought the Celtics are just bored with the regular season. Like, it happens to those teams.
Fair.
Yeah, it happens to those teams. This Cavs team tries every single night. That's what makes them different and special. That's why it's hard to imagine that a game like this even existed.
But them doing it for 82 games, I think the try-hardest of try-hard NBA teams, you're probably going to get 75 out of 82 games.
Even when they have nights where their three-point shot just doesn't exist, like if Boston's three-point shot doesn't show up, they disappear completely in games. It's not that way for the Cavs.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you just didn't have it. I feel like that's such a cop out.
For the first time, yeah, but that's you see how hard that is though, because it's like you just didn't have it, but it also coincides with playing the number one defense in the NBA in the Thunder on a nationally televised game, which we have not had much of, which is a complete valid complaint we've had about this Cavs team over the previous 2 years, is that in the playoffs when the lights are brightest they don't show up. Like, it's a lot of coincidences and convenient timing then to be like, well, they just didn't have it.
You played awfully. They played perfectly. I'm okay in a one game setting, even though we still have to calculate like the last week. I'm okay just kind of looking at it from that lens. It's either a tearful goodbye or a hearty good riddance, depending on who you are. That leads off Quick Hits at 2:43 on 92.3 The Fan. JP, let's hop right into Quick Hits and farewell, Miles Straw. That's either a fond farewell or a don't let the door hit you, depending on what kind of Guardians fan you are. Despite being off the 40-man roster, the Guardians trading Straw with cash and international pool space, that's international minor league free agent space, to Toronto for cash or a player to be named later. Are you a fan of this trade from the Gardos?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I have like 7 million Miles Straw thoughts that it's the only time to get them off now, I guess. Everyone raves about Antonetti and Chernoff, but we have to admit that that is one of the more lopsided in a bad way trades that they've ever done. Miles Straw for Yiner Diaz. That one goes on their miss card.
So that and the Tobias Myers for Caminero are awful trades. They've had a couple of them. Yeah, that one hurts. But
they've had multiple Diazes that went on to be great.
So it was that and then signing Miles Straw to the extension. So yeah, it was twofold.
$25 million. It was funny last year. After it was, you know, he was going to go down to the minors, and he was sitting there, and the camera had this video of him and Antonetti hanging out at the ballpark together and just kind of like just being friends. And I'm like, I'd be friends with Antonetti too. Gave me $25 million when I didn't deserve anywhere close to $25 million.
The credit I will give is you erase that mistake. That's smart. Whether you spend that money or not, you erase that mistake, and I think that's important. I still think Miles can be is a big leaguer. You just can't have him in this. He needs to be in like a New York or a Toronto where he can go out there, and if he goes through his I'm going to hit a .130 phase, you just sit him and it's not killing you, right?
I think he's done.
I think that's what I totally understand what you're saying. That he just like in Toronto, you've got Guerrero, you've got Bichette. It looks like they're going to try and sign Santander. They've been working on that for a while. I think you've got enough bats, like in really good lineups, you can hide a guy like that, and then they can get back to who he was before all the nonsense, unless the confidence just shot. But in the end, I think it's a smart deal by the Guardians and to be commended.
Omaha! All right, we have the get-in price now for the national title game. It's up to over $2,100. Just to just to get in is insane. I mean, they're going to wrap you in the rafters up at the very, very top for $2,100. Some of the other tickets, most expensive is $23,600. It is averaging about $4,500, the most expensive college football title game since at least 2011, Nick.
Yeah, this was as predictable as it could be, given that it was Notre Dame versus Ohio State, right?
Well, we talked about, I mean, it's big brand on big brand, which is obviously a big deal. And anytime either one of these teams are involved, it's going to be massive. I just can't believe to be tied up in one of the banners. You could say $2,500, $2,100. That's insane.
This is too rich for my blood. Not because just because of the money. It's because what if you go and the game is just a blowout?
A blowout. Imagine being a Notre Dame fan and you just get dog walked.
Oregon or Tennessee 2.0.
You paid for the flight. You paid for the hotel. You did all this, and then you paid at least $2,100 per ticket to get in, and you just watch your team get destroyed.
When I pay like $60 to go to a game and my team gets dog walked, I walk out of there in a funk for the next half day. I can't imagine traveling somewhere, then paying for the ticket, then that. And listen, I actually think it's going to end up being a fun game, at least in the first half. But that's just, I mean, if you have $23,000?
That's for the most expensive ticket, yeah.
God bless you.
I mean, listen,
a little jealous. God bless you, though.
I get the $23,000 one because you're a billionaire. You got money. It's fun money. You have enough. Who's paying $2,500, $2,100 and just being like, yeah, this is my disposable income?
Yeah, for nosebleeds.
Omaha!
College Football 2025, the best-selling video game ever, but the video game has not been positive across the board. Marshall turned Southern Miss head coach Charles Huff told coaches at the AFCA conference the biggest issue he ran into last year wasn't NIL or social media, but players complaining about their ranking on the College Football 2025 game, which brings me to, if you're a college coach, like, do you need to have, like, hey, I have a specific assistant who makes $30,000 a year, and his only job is to have people walk into his office and say, I'm a 70? I'm a 70? Like, how do you combat this? Because basically Charles Huff was saying it's just a time issue. Because it's just like this perpetual thing that guys just couldn't get over their low college football ranking. I think it's, I just don't know why you'd care.
I would care. I wouldn't complain to people about it. Maybe I would, like family members. If I had a low college football rating and I was playing in college football and I thought, let's say I was like a 90 in the speed category, which is not reflective of real life at all. But if I had like a 90 in the speed category, but I thought I was like a 96, like one of the fastest people on planet Earth, I'd be like, this stinks.
I don't even know
what they're watching.
Listen, as long as the NIL money's rolling in, and as I'm going to go ahead and say, as an athlete, you can have just about any co-ed you'd like, I think I'd be happy. Like, this is the 1% of concerns that you could have.
I mean, NFL players complain to Madden. That's why they have, like, the Maddings and adjusters on the sidelines.
I'm an Adonis. I make boku money playing college football. I can have any woman I want. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. My Madden rating, I think it's 2 points too low. I think maybe you should grow up a little bit.
Have you played the game?
No. I haven't bought a PS5, and I want to so badly. But I might just be holding out for 2026.
Yeah, I haven't played the game either. I haven't played a football video game in, like, it's been 15 years.
I've just put it off too long, but I want to. I love college football. Just NCAA football, now college. I just love the game so much. More so than Madden, which is wild because I'm more of a NFL guy.
Everyone talked about how much they were so excited for the game, and I don't ever hear anyone talking about them playing the game.
That's the best. Oh, my little brother tells me all the time.
I'm sure people do. It's pretty popular. No one in my life is ever like, I'm sitting down to play some college football.
Well, that's good because that means they're doing it, but they're not talking about it. Because that's like talking about your fantasy football team.
Omaha!
Tom Brady's got a conflict of interest, and it's going to take center stage during the Commanders and the Lions game. When Brady works the game, it's going to have Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson on one side and the defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn there as well. Do you feel like Tom Brady should tell his Fox audience ahead of time, I am not going to be a neutral commentator for this game. I have vested interest in potentially two people that have a wide impact into the results of this game and are on the sidelines in this game, or just don't tell anything to anyone in the audience?
It absolutely needs to be there. This is embarrassing. The idea, because remember, like, there's so many extra things. I don't know how to... I just don't know how this guy's been afforded this opportunity. He should have had to choose between either being a broadcaster or owning a team. For instance, if you want to run for governor, you're not allowed to have a broadcasting job. That was that was the Matt Jones thing in Kentucky a couple years ago.
Oh, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Talk Radio.
You kind of get kicked out of that, but you have to choose. But I guess not if you're Tom Brady. It's an awful look, especially considering the fact that now the Raiders are seen as the front runner for Ben Johnson.
Yeah, like, well, I think he's going to address it. Is it just at the very front when he does the Collinsworth slide in? Is he going to be like, listen, I own part of the Raiders. I have a complete interest in the two coordinators on the Lions, so I'm going to try to do my best not to talk about them in a positive way or a negative way?
I think every time...
The audience loses there.
Every time he brings up Ben Johnson, he should say, I'm also the co-owner or part owner of... the Raiders, and I have spent a lot of time talking. There needs to be some sort of disclaimer every time that Ben Johnson's mentioned.
And Brady's not gotten any better in the booth either, by the way.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, he's gotten better.
No,
you've just gotten used to how not good he is.
Yeah, he's not gotten better.
And everyone, you see the report where the report is Don Yee had said he's going to stick in the booth. And everyone's like, well, he's gotten marginally better, of course. And I was like, yeah, he's not going to walk away from $480 million.
Right, yeah.
I'm very shocked.
$30 million a year. It turns out that's good for that.
Omaha!
The Supreme Court upheld a ban requiring TikTok's parent company based in China to divest from the app. Meanwhile, the parent company has said it plans to go dark in America as of Sunday. There's some other political wrangling on this, but are you sad to see TikTok go if that's what happens?
I'm not buying that it'll actually happen. I think it'll be there on Sunday. I will be shocked if it's not there on Sunday.
I'll be
genuinely surprised if it's not there.
At first I would be sad to see it go, though.
Every day that it's not there is a day we find something else to replace it with, though, and you can't come back from that.
I would miss it a ton. I think it's better than
Instagram. I spend more time on TikTok than any of them.
I can't do Twitter anymore. I'm sorry.
No, Twitter stinks.
I remember 5 years ago, people were like, Twitter, it's gotten so much worse. And now, 5 years later, somehow it's gotten worse. Listen, it just continues to get worse.
Twitter stinks. I never check my Instagram anymore. Facebook is... I don't even know what Facebook is at this point. They're not. Who goes there? And if you go there, it's more because you get like random news articles there than you actually do updates on people's life. TikTok is the only thing I do at this point. If it goes away, I'll just find something to replace it. Like, what's our alternative?
Isn't it like red something or other? There's blue sky. There's just a lot of stuff.
Oh, blue sky. My mom sent me something last night. She's like, I'm on blue sky now. And I'm like, I'm not joining another one.
Yeah. Now, wait. Doesn't that change if you can replace it, though?
Well, no. Blue sky isn't it. Blue sky is trying to be like Twitter.
Okay.
It's not giving me the videos.
They're replacing TikTok.
No, they're trying to replace Twitter, not TikTok. And I told her, I'm like, I'm not joining that. She's like, you're too young to stay set in your ways. And I'm like, that's not what this is about. This is not what this is about.
Omaha!
Roger Goodell says the logical step is for the NFL to go to 18 regular season games. He is hellbent on making it 20 total, 18 regular season with the two preseason games. This is now like the seventh time we've heard him say this is what he wants to do, which has me believing this is really what he wants to do. He needs to get NFLPA approval first, though, before you can make any of these moves before the collective bargaining agreement. But it seems like we are on the fast track to 18 regular season games.
I think it's really a matter of when, not if. And as a fan, if that means I cannot tell you the only thing that I don't like about this, but I can't tell you how much I hate the preseason, how meaningless it is. And NFL guys get mad. Oh, that means something to somebody. Yeah, that's not how this works anymore. This is about, all right, how much money can we make, and can we get games that are watchable? Preseason's unwatchable.
Yeah.
So the only thing I don't like about this is that I wish they would move the start of the schedule up a little bit.
And they might play with it.
I've always been annoyed that it's like July 25th is like the start of camp. Then the preseason starts like 10 or 11 days later. And then there's just the void of the preseason, which stretches from almost all of August all the way to the first like 10 or 11 or 12 days of September. Bump it up a little bit.
My only concern is that it'll dilute the regular season even more. And I think we'll be fine. I think people love football enough. But I do think this year that it has tested a lot of people's patience and just how much you love football with all the different days that games are on. Like the idea that you have to watch every game doesn't exist the way that it did even a year ago.
Where's the evidence to show that, though? I mean, like the ratings have just not changed at all for them.
Well, the ratings for the most recent playoff games were actually down like 7-8 million across the board.
I really don't think that there's a limit on the thirst for football here. And maybe I've gone too hard.
I've said
in
before,
one way.
I think it's a drug. I think we're addicted to it, and that's just where we're at. But I do think when you make more games available and you spread it out over so many games, the idea that you can miss a game is more prevalent than it ever has been.
216, I don't know why I was going to throw out the phone number. You know, 216-474-0092. 18 games, too many. Ryan Roberts breaks down the quarterback class and other options at 2 for the Browns at 303 on 92.3 The Fan.